Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And thanks for listening to 8-Bit Geek.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode. It's been a long time. I'm treating it like it's another week, like we do this all the time. We've been recording so much over the last month, but we just haven't released it to anybody. That's a lie. We haven't done shit. But we're back because it's October, and Kevin and I were not comfortable sleeping on 8-Bit Horror Fest. We couldn't do it. We had to come back. Jer is busy doing whatever Jer does, getting heart surgeries and buying new houses or whatever. I don't fucking know. And so
lavish houses.
Yeah. So it's just Kev and I. And Kev, what movie are we talking about this week?
We are talking about the South Korean hit 2016's Train to Busan.
That's right. And did you know, real quick, did you know that a sequel came out this year?
Yeah, you know what? After watching this, I was looking up the info in IMDb, and I found out about that. I want to watch that now.
Yeah, Peninsula.
This was amazing. Yeah, we'll get into it, but yeah.
So, as he said, Train to Busan, it is a, you know, I'm just going to repeat everything he just said, the 2016 zombie film out of South Korea, and unlike your other zombie films, this one takes place entirely on a train, almost entirely on a train, and some train stations. And I watched this about a week or two ago, back when it was still on Netflix. I believe it has been taken off of Netflix now. Is that what you said?
Unfortunately. Yeah. Because I went to go look it up before you mentioned it, because I was looking up something else. Because there's another movie that just recently came out called Hashtag Alive. And so that kind of reminded me of Train to Busan. So I tried looking it up, and then it was giving me the titles related to, and I was like, they took it off.
Bummer. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it was
crazy
on there forever. Yeah, it was on my list, but I just never got around to watching it. So
I didn't realize it was getting ready to be taken off. I mean, I just happened to, one of those days, it was like a slow day at work, and I was like, I'm going to throw something on the background. And, of course, this is a South Korean film, and there's no English subs or dubs on Netflix, which is fine. But typically when I watch stuff at work, I have it on one of my three monitors, and it's really just kind of in the background. So this one kind of turned into I actually have to watch this.
I had to do a lot of pausing and walking away because I had to do stuff. Yeah, I had to do that because I want to stay focused. Even though it is a South Korean movie, and it's a zombie movie, so you don't need much exposition, but you know, there's certain scenes that you're like, I've got to, you know what's going on.
Yeah, I would, and I would say even just as a movie in itself, the storyline is pretty simplistic and easy to follow along. That, like, even if I didn't have the subs turned on, like, I still would have been able to follow this movie pretty easily. I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious. Like, okay, we'll go through the movie now. So the movie starts, and it's a businessman, a young, hot businessman who is
hedge fund business or hedge manager.
Yeah. So, it was an account manager sort of thing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he, as we meet him, it's clear he's dedicated to his work, even though he's eating like a burger. He's eating Burger King, which I was like, what weird fucking product placement right at the top of the movie.
Right. It's burger. You know what? It's South Korean Burger King is probably way better than American.
Oh, absolutely.
Burger King. Let's be real.
Oh, absolutely.
It's probably like real meat and everything.
And the thing is, like, you don't get to see what he's eating. It's just like the wrappers and stuff. And I remember being like, I want to know what the fuck he ate. Like, what'd you have, dude? Because it's just like, it probably was just a Whopper, but it's just like the empty wrapper, and he just like crumbles it up, takes a drink of like the drink, you know, so you can see the logo, and then like throws it away. And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we meet him, and he's doing his businessy things, and then
pushing around his assistant.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to his home life, and he goes home, and like it's pretty clear that he lives with like his mom. Mm-hmm. But you know, in America, you're like, oh man, 30-year-old businessman living with his mom, like, must be a loser. But you know, thinking about like also the South Korean culture and stuff. Which I will say, this movie also very interesting to kind of like see the dynamic of like Asian cultures versus like, especially when put into a very Western trope movie.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, you know, Western field trope. And so his mom's there, which it was probably very common in South Korea. I can't speak to that in particular, but I have to imagine.
Take care of your elders, man.
Exactly, right? Like that. I know that that's like a very prominent thing in their culture, in a lot of Asian countries and stuff. And so I'm just assume that that's how that is, that, you know, you take care of, yeah, your parents, and they live with you mm-hmm. as long as they can. And we also meet his daughter. And so it's pretty, again, if I'm kind of telling this as though like there is no subtitles, because I learn about all this. So dad's super busy, misses his daughter's like a recital, and she blunders because she's sad he's not there. And you learn that like he has a wife that lives in, I guess, Busan, and she wants the daughter to come down for the weekend, and the daughter wants to go because her dad is a piece of shit because he just works too much. And
and
so that's kind of
her birthday weekend.
Yeah, so. And it's kind of the premise of the movie is like dad doesn't want to go because he's got this business he needs to do, but he sees the recording of that his mom took of her failing at the performance, and he feels guilty, and so he agrees to take his
and
daughter.
Also, he got her a gift, and like for her birthday,
the
he's like,
Wii U.
"I'm hip with the kids," and it was a Wii U. It was cool and all, but she already had one.
Yeah,
and
for so Child's like, Day or whatever.
Yeah,
which so, I remember being like, "Y'all got a holiday for kids that they just get shit on," and then I was also thinking maybe they don't celebrate Christmas. I don't know, because at first I was like, damn, well, how dope is it? Why the fuck don't we have that, America, you consumerist piece of shit? Like, why the fuck don't we have a day where you just buy toys for your kids?
I feel like as we're talking about this, Caleb's like rocking in his chair back and forth, like wanting to say something.
Yeah, it's like, God. Well, if it's Caleb, be like, well, I lived there for a year, as he flips his hair because it's Caleb. and now he's rolling his eyes and raging, and I'm going to get a text here in a few minutes. It's fine.
And this hasn't even released yet. He just knows.
Yeah.
Somewhere his ears are ringing.
You talking about me, motherfucker? So anyways, that's the setup to the movie is like at that point he takes his daughter on this train to Busan. It's like a bullet train that's going to travel however long. I think they say it's only like an hour and a half trip because he's like, we've got to do this because I got to be back in the office because I got a huge business deal I've got to be back for.
Yeah.
And this is where the part of the movie and stuff where it reminded me of things like Shaun of the Dead and some of these other movies where it's like everyone's oblivious to the chaos going on around them.
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of looks like people are fighting at first, like little like things. And then you'll see people like looking on, and then all of a sudden it just gets more and more crazier. I love when like they're about to start the train and one of the conductors gets taken out and the only person that sees is the daughter.
Yeah.
And she's like, anybody?
No.
Dad's sleeping. Like, and he was looking right in that direction too. He just had his eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great seeing like stuff like that. You're right. Just the whole Shaun of the Dead, like just no noticing.
Yeah.
And that's probably how it'll happen if the zombie apocalypse ever happens. People just go about their business.
Knock on wood. There's still like 2 months left in this year. three months left in this year. There's still
time. Season finale of 2020.
There's still time. Coronavirus is just going to mutate itself and it's going to be the zombie plague.
Man.
But yeah, so I'll just kind of talk about the movie a little bit. Not necessarily we don't have to go into too much detail about the plot, because now the plot is they're on the train, a zombie outbreak happens, and of course someone at the last minute gets on the train who is infected. And so that sets off the course of events for the rest of the movie, for them specifically on the train. But yeah, there again were those tropes of like, you know, the one person who gets on the train. And then there's even like the character tropes too. You recently streamed Night of the Living Dead on Twitch. And so it was interesting watching that and have like with this movie in mind, knowing that we were going to be talking about it soon.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, all those character like archetypes are in this movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
For the most
easily.
Part. I mean,
there's always like a control struggle or power control, power hungry dude. You know, you always have the idiots, you know, and the people like the followers, but you also had like good people that didn't have to die because of the power struggle. Like they get into like, they make the stupidest decisions. And that's one thing that pisses me off. I wrote this in my notes many times and we'll get to this guy, but I just keep saying, fuck that rich guy. Like, just going on and on throughout this movie. Like he is the complete villain of this.
Yeah. He's that character. Yeah. So we're introduced on the train to that guy pretty early on because I think he says something to the daughter at one point. I don't remember what he says, but they have a little interaction.
And yeah, the education. So because he was like, oh, people like that don't have an education. And she's like, oh, my mom says to be nice to them. And he's like, oh, she must be dumb too. Or something like that. He must have never graduated. And it's like, damn, what a fucking dick thing to say to a kid.
Is that when they find the homeless guy? So there's a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Who is one of the people who gets on board. And he's running from the zombie. He saw it happen. And so they just think he's crazy. Because he's just like, the end of the world is here. Like, it's an apocalypse is happening. Like, oh, yeah, they were eating people.
All dead. He's like mumbling all dead to himself. Yeah. All dead. All dead and like rocking back and forth.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, guy's loony. So yeah, that's where that guy, so she runs into that guy. And then she runs into two other main characters. It's a husband and wife duo. And again, it's kind of the like overprotective, kind of douchey. I mean, so I was watching it and I was like, this looks like a guy who peaked in high school. And I don't know, like he was an asshole to the main character for a good bit of the movie. We'll say that he does have like a, not a redemption story, but a like a, an oh shit moment. Like, okay, I may not like you, but like if I, like we're gonna die. So we have to work together to get through this. And the wife is pregnant. And so there's kind of that whole like he wants to take care of her, it's very protective. And he has an interaction with the daughter too. She's trying to find a bathroom and his wife is in the bathroom and he's like, she's gonna be a bit, you should just go on.
I love how that scene is set up, because once again, I mean, you're right, he's a stockier dude, kind of like he looks like he could probably beat someone's ass. He looks kind of like a bodyguard and he's guarding this bathroom door, and he tells the little girl, he's like, oh yeah, there's two people in there, you know. And so he's like, it's going to be a while. There's two people in there. You think like maybe there's like some kind of weird drug deal or something going on in there. And he's kind of just playing the door. And then when his wife's in there coming out pregnant, it's like, there's two people,
right? Your child as well. Yeah. And
I have to say, I loved them. I felt the opposite of what you, or at least I saw it opposite. Like he was the guy, he was my hero in this whole movie. And the dad was the asshole. At least, for the first half of the movie where he's like, he's selfish, you know, he's a lot of stuff he's doing, you know, and there's something that the couple, I can't remember, and I don't know any of their names.
Yeah, same. Which, I mean, because part of it is like, I was reading it, and so one, again, this is like a week or two ago, I don't remember. I could look it up on IMDb, but I'm probably going to butcher the name because it's been so far removed out of like, however the pronunciations are, but.
Exactly. Let's separate. Let's say, so you got, let's say the father, and then we'll call him Daddy. Or Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
At one point, Big Daddy tells Dad, Father, he said something like, I know your daughter may resent you young for working so hard, but she'll understand when she gets older. You know?
Yeah, there was the conversation about that stuff where it's like,
And that's where he kind of turned the asshole dad around and kind of made him think less selflessly. Because throughout this whole beginning, when people are starting to get infected and starting to get bit on the train, the father starts taking the daughter and saying, don't help people. Don't be so nice to people. You know, and he's trying to tell her that. And she's like, well, Mom told me to be nice to people. I want to be nice to people. I want to help people.
Yeah. Well, and like as a father, I was thinking like, I was like, your intent here in this situation is good. Like, preserve yourself. Like, you're my child. I want you to survive. And, like, you need to make sure that you get through the doors and you get away and you are safe. But it's presented in such, like a douchey way where it's like, don't help anyone. Which I know is, like, again, probably part of, like, his whole thing. I mean, it's probably how he got to where he is and, you know, being a successful businessman and all that shit. And we're kind of introduced to that early on in the movie when he's talking to his assistant and stuff. But I don't know, the fact that like there's the scene where they're sitting in that room after they've like gotten through. Okay, so like an outbreak happens, I guess we should say. Like where we're kind of at in the movie in our heads is like, I have to back up a little bit. The chick gets on on the train and she's bit. And she turns pretty quickly, and I don't know who they. I mean, stunt woman.
She turns on a stewardess or like a waitress of sorts.
Yeah, but just some of the coolest, it's like it kind of had like a Silent Hill, like jerky, weird stance vibe.
Body contorting
kind of.
The neck switches, the eyes go completely white. And then, yeah, like the body contortion and the back cracking, like the bone snapping, it was so fucking satisfying to hear.
Yeah.
Like, but, and to see it, it was awesome. Yeah. I loved how they did that. Like, if they were turning around, that they wouldn't just normally turn around, they would do like a snap back.
Yeah.
Like, it was real crazy to see that. I loved it.
Yeah. And, so she bites some people, and then it's just kind of like chaos. People are like, oh, there's a fight breaking out, and then it kind of just very quickly turns into, because it's like the second you get bit, you know, these are fast turning zombies. People were turning within minutes. And so at this point they're getting out of their train and they're kind of moving up the train with everyone else trying to flee as well. And that's where we're in the scene where it's like they get through, they shut the door, because the second the zombies don't see you, they kind of give up. They kind of go into like a more dormant state. Like they
calm down. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't get all revved up.
Yeah. They don't try to bust through doors and stuff. They can with the glass doors because they can see you, but there's, you know, they close the doors. They do all this stuff. And it was Big Daddy. That's where he kind of like lays into the father, but kind of like, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a hedge fund manager or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. So you're an asshole or whatever. It's just like,
yeah, he's like a bloodsucker.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where I was like, that's not the time, man. Like, yeah. That's why I was kind of like, he's kind of an asshole. It's just like,
he was telling that to the daughter. Like, he was saying, oh, yeah, your dad's a bloodsucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he wasn't there. Like, yeah, something like he was, I forgot where he was at that time, but like, yeah, it was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, the guy was, I mean, he was pissed because he didn't hold the door open for him, you know, and that was the thing. He closed the door on the guy, and thankfully they still got through.
Yeah.
But yeah, because the guy was just looking out for himself and his daughter.
And we're also introduced to go back also to tie this to Night of the Living Dead, we're introduced to a baseball player and his girlfriend.
yeah, exactly.
Like a jock and his girlfriend, which I don't know, their little storyline I would have liked to have seen fleshed out a little more, because it was like when we're introduced to them before the outbreak happens and stuff, like she's flirting with him and he's like not having it for some weird reason.
He's like, I got my headphones in.
Yeah, I was like, you can go away now. And she's like she's not, I guess like, it seemed like she wasn't supposed to be there. Like they're like, oh she's here or whatever, and she's like, oh, of course I'm gonna come cheer my boys on or whatever, and she's like sitting next to him flirting and stuff, and he's just like, no. So it's kind of like, what is this about? But then throughout the course of the movie that they kind of rely on one another and all that stuff. So it's,
Cause they're on one side of the train and the other folks are on the other at one point.
Yeah. They get split up at one point. So then,
because of the fact,
so then we're introduced to the douchebag McGee, which again is another businessman who is just, he is that like just villainous archetype. Just the, I'm going to survive. Everyone else can get fucked. I don't care.
Yeah.
And there's so many times throughout the movie where he tries to, against that, we're going to say the power struggle between like him and I'm going to say everyone else, but like they are heroes of the movie, whether it be the father, Big Daddy, and the baseball player kid.
Yeah.
And the daughter and the mom and stuff. Like, it's like, there's some old ladies too that have some,
those old ladies ruled. I loved them.
Yeah, it's funny because like when the outbreak happens and stuff on the train, everyone starts to go crazy. Everyone, when they get to that car, everyone's like pulling out their cell phones, like what the fuck is happening? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my, it's chaos everywhere. And they're like, oh god, it's like the Korean War all over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh god.
They're cracking some good jokes.
And so the douchebag McGee, he makes them stop somewhere because I guess they had heard that a station was safe. Like, okay, the military's there. It's going to be great. Like, that's a safe zone. We can get off the train. We can figure out what's going on. And so they get off the train and they make their way through the train station and they find the army where they've all been infected. And so they beeline it back to the train, and there's just some really, I mean, one of the things that I admire about the movie is like they did the like horde of zombies well, there was not a whole lot of CG as far as, like, you know, comparison like World War Z, where it was like,
yeah, it was done much better than World War Z. They had the better body piles,
the better body piles, more realistic. But there's a part where they're escaping the train station and they're getting back on the train and they're holding that glass door shut, and eventually it gets to the point where there are too many bodies pressing up against the glass, mm-hmm. and the door frame just kind of like in glass and stuff just kind of caves in and falls forward, and there's a bunch of zombies that fall through. And I remember, and I wanted to watch so badly a behind the scenes on how it was made. And I know Caleb sent me a link to, cause he's like, oh, I know, I've here it is. And I didn't do it, cause it was only like 5 minutes long. And I was like, you're not going to tell me everything I need to know in this video, but I want to know how they did it, because it was like, how many people going down were real versus how many going down were like dummies.
Yeah.
Because they get trampled. Like, but not everybody, mm-hmm. some of them do fall down and get up. But then it becomes this mad dash back to the train where they then, you know, Douchebag McGee is one of the first people back somehow. And he's like, get this train out of here. And meanwhile, our heroes are fending off the zombies. They're trying to hold that door shut.
They tried taking an alternate route because the father had somebody on the inside with the military. Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to get an alternate route because they were basically going to go to quarantine. And I guess going to quarantine would have been bad. So they try, you know, him and his daughter try getting out of it. And the homeless guy's like, oh, I heard the phone call. I'm following you.
Yeah.
And so
it's
he
the
became a part of the story, because the homeless guy was really kind of just mumbling to himself for the up until this point. And then he became like a pretty good player in the story.
Yeah.
I loved him too. He was fantastic.
Yeah. And yeah, so they went another way, but that was the thing. So they're walking down this hallway, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah, an army guy comes at him, and then he's like, the dad's kind of, oh, thank God. And then it's like, oh, very clearly, oh, no. Oh, no. So yeah, so they're running, and I remember they get through that terminal, because they meet up with everyone else, and they get that door shut, because Big Daddy saw the father get, like, he gets pinned down, and mm-hmm. he's, like, finding one off, and he gets out from underneath it, and they're, and he's like about to shut the door, but he holds it. He keeps it open for him to get through. And yeah. then they try to hold that down. That's when it falls over and the zombies come out and they run. So the train at this point is already starting to leave. And we lose some baseball players at this point. And like, so the daughter, the mom, or the pregnant wife, yeah. And the girl that was with the baseball player, plus Douchebag McGee and a handful of other survivors, all get back on the train. The train's moving. So then the baseball star, Big Daddy, and the father get on another train, about the 9 cars back, I think. Mm-hmm. But, and it becomes this whole thing about, like, we got to get up there. And I will say, one of the things they introduced in this part is, like, we've already met that, like, once the zombies don't see you, they stop reacting to you. They could literally be like biting your arm, and if the lights go out,
they're like, what's up, where is it? Then they go by sound. Yeah,
then they react to sound. And so I thought that was really interesting, just here we go, we've given a weakness to them in a sense. So then they started like planning, like, okay, there's looking at the map of this train, okay, there's a tunnel coming up, we should be there. If we're going this as fast as this train will go, we're traveling about this fast, we should be there in 3 minutes. It'll take us 2 minutes to get through, so we have to get past these guys silently in 2 minutes in the dark. And so the movie is really claustrophobic.
Yeah, but it was clever too. I like that.
Yeah.
And they had a little scene too, like so they're climbing the racks, mm-hmm. and they're doing that, and then he grabs a bag and throws it like to the other side, so then they get all thrown off by the sound and they all rush that way, yeah. and they're able to sneak off through the car. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. And we see them also like tear off like their jackets and stuff and like put padding on their arms and stuff to give them,
yeah.
you know, something harder for the zombies to have to bite through and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. it was smart in that way too, whereas they kind of like geared up getting ready to go. So they finally reach the family. They're the wife, the daughter, the girlfriend, and they get to the point where they meet up with the Douchebag McGee, and he's like, no, they could be infected. And he turns like the entire train against everybody, against them. And so they split them up, and it's just, or they split off from the rest of the group. They continue forward on the train, and it's just crazy. Like, because at this point, I mean, like, we're mostly through the movie at this point. There's, mm-hmm. I think I remember there was only like 30 minutes to 45 minutes left in the movie. And I remember being like, what else could happen? Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how are they going to wrap this up? Yeah. And it was the best part about that whole scene, the how it broke out. So, yeah, they I mean, basically the father jumped the businessman, the douchebag, because of the fact that they wouldn't let him in. They had to force their way in because of the fact he was like, oh, don't let him in. They're infected. And so he starts beating him up. And then that's when he's like, oh, he's crazy. He's infected. Look at his eyes. And then that kind of, you know, herd mentality. Everyone starts worrying and starts saying, get out and all that. So they go to the next car over and then they try to lock the folks out. And I love it because then the older woman, one of the older women dies in that like a scene before. And the other
she sacrificed herself. It was when they're okay. Yeah. So when he wouldn't let them in, she's with them because she was with the women.
She was, yeah, she was in the bathroom with the homeless guy. It was the homeless guy, the granny. They called her granny.
Yeah.
Homeless guy, granny, the daughter and the mother.
Yeah. And she like sacrificed herself. So when they're trying to get in and they're like fighting to get the door open, to slow the zombies down, she sees her other friend, Granny, too. And she kind of gives her that look like, have fun. Like, here you go. I'm not making it. Like a knowing smile, like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so she like sacrifices herself and they get through the door and then he jumps the guy and they get split up. And So then they're like, oh, fuck them, whatever. Which is so dumb. It's like, okay, y'all, this should have been like, y'all stay here closest to them and we're going to move forward away from you. But instead they sandwich themselves in between the people they think they have could be infected with and then the infected on the other side.
Yeah.
And so then the sister sees her, you know, sees Granny standing on the other side of the glass door and is like, in a dumb moment, because there's always that dumb fucking moment of, all right, sister, I'm coming home. You know, goes and opens the fucking door, and the zombies flood in, and that train cart with all those survivors gets fucked.
Yep, it was awesome. Yeah. It was great to see it happen just because of the way the people were treated, you know?
Yeah, and so... They kind of figure out what's going on. They can hear it on the other side. And I think some stuff that happens because there's like a train conductor and all this stuff. And he's now headed to Busan. He's on the way there. He's going to, he's going to get them there. And they come across, you know, they're flying on this bullet train. They come across like a train yard. And there's like, I guess a train, there's like a crashed train on the
tracks. There was a stoppage. Yeah.
And the train overturns. We lose a couple more people. And that's we also find out that the douchebag McGee and one of the train attendants who was...
The train attendant who was helping him.
Yeah. They hid in a bathroom. So they survived that onslaught.
I was so pissed. Yeah. I was so happy when I thought he ate it right there. I even wrote it in my notes. I was like, I can't wait till the rich guy eats it too.
Yep.
And I said, no, not the elderly sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so we finally survive. They're on the train and our main characters, I'm trying to think. Everyone is... No, I don't think everyone is alive at this point, right? Did we...
They lose Big Daddy, and that hurt. That was the one he was holding the door trying to close it.
That's right.
He got bit right on the hand. This was how they before they broke into this is around the time Granny died in there.
That's right. Yes, he was holding that door shut and
he was the first line of defense. Yeah.
Yeah. And he told him to that's right. I forgot he died before
that Granny sucked died. So bad. He was my hero in that movie, man. I didn't want to see him go.
So he
wrote in my notes, no.
Yeah, that's right. So going back just a little bit, yeah, when they snuck through the train, they get through and they're barring the door shut to keep those zombies out, and it's the father and Big Daddy, and yeah, Big Daddy's like, you gotta go, take care of my wife. And the dad, I mean, he's like, what? Like, no. And he's like, go, get out of here. Like, you don't prove anything, get out of here. And yeah, he goes out, and then he doesn't just go out and like just get swarmed. He goes out and like puts up a pretty good fight.
Hell yeah, dude. He was beating the shit out of the zombies.
Yeah. But eventually he gets overrun. So anyways, fast forward back to where we were. Sorry. I was trying to figure out what happened to everybody. Because this is the part where like I also don't remember what happens to the homeless guy.
He survived in that when they got caught under the train or whatever. They were in a little section and he sacrifices himself so that the daughter and the pregnant woman can get out of the under. They had to crawl underneath. Mm-hmm. And then like all the other zombies were in the cart trying to break through the glass. And so they end up breaking through the glass and he holds them back in time. And then the train completely falls apart and then they pop out of the top and start chasing him again.
Yeah, so. That's right. So now we're just left with the pregnant woman, the daughter,
and the father.
And
what we think.
And we lost the kids at one point too.
Oh yeah. Because of the fucking bad, because of the rich guy. So they switched trains. The rich guy found them and he went on there and he pulled the girl off the train into the zombie horde. And then the rich guy took off and the baseball player stuck with her until she turned and she bit him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really sad.
Yeah,
just again, it was all because of the rich guy. The rich guy fucked so much in that movie.
Yeah, he pretty much killed everybody at this point forward. I mean, like from the point in which that he was being an asshole, he killed. His actions led to the deaths of, we could probably say, Big Daddy. I mean, it's kind of maybe that's undetermined. Grandma, Granny, and then everyone else in that train.
Because
someone could have been watching the sister before she went and opened the fucking door. But they're also like tied up in their own shit. So then we also follow the conductor who then goes and finds another train and he gets that going. We find out that rich guy gets there too. Mm-hmm. And then we also kind of follow the father, daughter, and pregnant wife. They managed to get on. And that was one scene where I was kind of like, this looks a little cheesy, with the zombies running and catching hold and hooking on and then climbing on each other.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. Like, I don't care. There's only so many hands that are holding this train, and there's only so much strength that they have to actually hold on while it's moving and dragging them. Yeah. And so the father's like kicking them off, blah, blah, blah. They get on the train. It's like a single car. They walk along the side. They get to the front, and that's where they find out that I think the conductor's dead at this point.
Yeah. The conductor was the rich guy let him die.
Yeah.
And the rich guy got bit at that point.
Yeah, he'd already been bit.
He ran.
Yeah. And that's where we kind of find out that he is now turned and he is now a zombie. And it becomes this fight between the father and the zombie douchebag McGee. And it's that, again, tropish moment, which is fine because I love zombie movies for all their tropes and stuff. It's just interesting to see how they're done differently. But yeah, then it's the dad gets bit. Dad sacrifices himself. He grabs the guy and he throws him off, but he quickly ties that chain around his waist so he like doesn't get thrown off with him. Yeah. But he like falls backwards and takes and lets the go of the zombie dude. Which I'm guessing that guy's still alive, which kind of sucks. Not alive. Zombie alive, right? Because it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, they're moving fast, so I'm sure he got fucked up. But, I mean, he's still a zombie.
Yeah, exactly. But those guys fell out of building, like, top of the buildings and got up.
Yeah.
Like, or when they fell off, there was a scene. So when they first started, like, when everyone got to their cell phones, they're watching YouTube videos of showing, like, outbreaks in other places. Mm. And the skate park was my favorite. So it was people skateboarding, and then there's a fucking helicopter or a plane going above them.
Yeah.
And there was zombies holding on, and they were falling off. And they're falling onto cars, falling on the street, and then instantly getting up, like, no selling the fall. And just going after the skateboarders and the cameras and stuff.
Yeah, forgot about that.
That was awesome.
That was a cool little, like, yeah, something they add. I mean, yeah, to give you that, like, this is how serious it is. Those motherfuckers just fell out of a plane. Like, they just fell from, like, a couple hundred feet and are fine enough to get up and continue, no matter how shattered their insides are. So... Yeah. So then the dad, you know, they see that he's, it was just absolutely heartbreaking. He sees that his hand's all fucked up. He takes his daughter, and then he puts her and the pregnant woman in the, like, conductor's seat thing area. Mm-hmm. And he, like, closes the door, and the daughter is just screaming to get to him.
Yeah.
And stuff. And he goes and sacrifices himself.
As soon as he turns, he throws himself off the side of the train.
Yeah, he like stands on the edge of the train, and oh, what a beautiful moment. So he's like he leans back off the back car and kind of falls backwards, and we're seeing as he turns like these like memories of his daughter being born. And that moment, I was just like,
yeah, I knew you were gonna.
So his like last memories, his last thoughts, as he like turns and stuff. Or that of his daughter being born. Oh, so it was so.
Yeah, he got his redemption.
Fucking right in the stomach. Yeah. Oh, that hurt. And then, at this point, yeah, the train runs out of gas, I guess, or whatever, and they're pretty close to Busan, and then we see them walking through this tunnel and reaching safety on the other side, and that's kind of the end of the movie. But I mean, it was.
They were going to give me at one point, because like when they're walking through the tunnel,
you're like, oh no.
And I was like, they better not fucking Night of Living Dead this. Mm-hmm. Like, because as much death has been in this movie, I was like, don't fucking do it. And then they were noticed. She was singing the song that she was supposed to sing in the recital.
That she bummed.
Super sweet.
Yeah, the one that she fucked up. She was singing it all the way through. And they were like, oh, we got survivors. And the military, they run out and
so
bring them in.
As we see, at the end of this movie, those two are safe. They make it to safety. And everyone else is fucking dead.
It was just it was a really good movie. And one of the things I mentioned earlier was just kind of like the cultural differences, I guess, in some of the stuff. Like there was just some of the conversations people had, especially with like the men and their status and their whether it be the douchebag McGee or it be Big Daddy or whatever, like just the way that Big Daddy, while very clearly he loved his wife, there was still like a kind of like a woman's place sort of like vibe.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like a get in the kitchen, make me a sandwich woman's vibe, but like it's my job as protector and it's your job to kind of follow me sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was necessarily outright said, but it was definitely in the attitude. But again, I don't think that came from like our like westernized approach of that, where it seems more like when men try to do that here, it's more controlling. It didn't seem to, it's like controlling, but more of like protective. But then also the status of the jobs and stuff, and the like this you know, douchebag McGee, big money, you know, asshole looking down on everyone below him as lesser thans, which I get, you know, still relevant no matter where you live in the world.
Yeah,
but
that's multicultural.
It's multicultural, but also in the way that people reacted and responded to him and his status almost. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, like, again, the way he talked about the homeless man and stuff, where it's like, that's a really close-minded way of thinking about that. Like, we don't know what this dude's deal is, but to assume that he didn't go to school and that's why he's homeless now, like, that's that feels like a very...
condescending.
It's super condescending. But I know I'm looking at it from, again, a Western point of view, Western civilization point of view, but just the, and I guess also maybe a 20th century, 21st century point of view of also like, man, you don't know why this fucking dude's homeless. I mean, like, I think of that all the time anytime I see a homeless person.
You played the stock markets and lost, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like there's all these people there that are homeless and they're like, oh, they all have mental illness. It's like, well, not necessarily. Some people may have just been handed a really shitty deck of cards, you know? And it may not necessarily be a mental thing, but just especially when we live in the United States, where like there's a huge homeless population that has absolutely nothing to do with their mental state and just like the, you know, shitty stock market and the crashes and the shitty economy. Anyways, there was something else that really stood out to me, and I was just thinking about it a second ago. Oh, what was it? It was just the design of the zombies was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The more use of practical effects, but there were times where I was like, okay, did they build this set like they did for that Wes Anderson movie that took place in a train, where it was called Jarlene Limited?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where they built like, it was a real train that had like half a set. It was like they cut off half, like the outer wall sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it was like, so they could have their camera rigs and stuff that would go from train to train and stuff. It was not, so I was like, did they do it that way or similar? Was it only like, well, we built four cars and we just have to kind of
switch things around
to make them look a little different? But also just like the amount of stunt people, while maybe not a huge stunt of like, and I was trying to figure out, like, did they hire a bunch of stunt people or was it just like kind of just like, okay, so you guys are going to rush through this train and run into the chairs and trip over each other and just like, don't get hurt with a bunch of like extras versus like stunt people. Cause there's points where it's like, oh, that's 40 people like as zombies trying to just rush through to come at the humans and stuff, where it was like, man, that's in a filmmaking point of view where it's like, that's, how did you do that? I want to know how you did these.
When they were at that first station, when they were getting chased by the military, one thing I noticed was there was one point where there was bodies piled outside of a window and there was other bodies kind of leaping over and kind of making their mark. And it looked kind of like they were added like in different times. So I think that's how they did it. Maybe they filmed like multiple people like in multiple different times, but like added them all in there at the same time to make it look like they were all doing it. That's the closest thing I can think of, like from me picking it apart. But that's, either way, it was very clever.
Yeah, there's, like, when I say there's a lot of practical effects, I mean, there was also definitely some CG, especially when, like, they were at that train station and they were coming out that window, hitting the train and rolling off. It was like, okay, that's CG. Like, there's, I don't know if that's practical, like you're saying, like, they filmed something on a green screen or whatever and then superimposed it on there and then just had a bunch of people do it and then just piled them on top of each other so it looked like 40 zombies
were
falling
out. Super Meat Boy style, you know, where they show your death.
Exactly. Or if it was all CG, but there were some of those moments where it was like, oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. But no, it was a great movie. And it did relatively well too. I mean, it surprisingly only made like $90 million worldwide, really? Which seems super low. But, you know, I also got to think, like,
for a zombie movie though.
And
I
also,
think that's pretty good.
I mean, its budget was $8.5 million, it looks like.
Oh, well, fucking, if that's a great budget to be for that, for what they've offered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought that was a pretty high quality movie.
Yeah. And again, you know, like, it's $8.5 million. And I guess, and I don't know if this is, I guess it has to be, like, I'm looking on Wikipedia, so who knows if it's how accurate it is, but is that, I guess, USD. I'm sure if I was in another country, it would give me that my equivalent. So $98.5 million is a box office total. So again, pretty good, especially for a horror film, but also one that probably wasn't released. I don't know if this got a theatrical release in the United States. That's part of the problem, is like, they don't always come here. Although it did well in at Cannes, the film festival. It was like, it won some awards there and stuff.
Nice. I mean, well-deserved. It was fantastic. I liked what I got out of it was they had a moral of the story too. A lot of people, I mean, they could have avoided a lot of death in this had people worked together instead of being so selfish. Like, I really felt like the moral of the story was to help people, not hurt them. And it showed that, like, you know, that people had to sacrifice in this and everything like that. Like, I think that was cool. They kind of teach you a lesson in it. At least that's what I took away from this movie. And I loved it for it.
Yeah. Looks like, and I don't know how up to date this is. Maybe I can actually, I don't want to go there. Looks like Rotten Tomatoes looks like it may have a 94% positive from critics and an average viewer rating, I believe. 7.6 out of 10.
Not bad.
So, I mean, again, it is a zombie film, and it is a zombie film full of zombie film tropes, like we've mentioned a lot. I mean, the character archetypes as well as, I mean, there's not a whole lot you could, I mean, there's not a lot you can do to really revamp a zombie movie. That's why things like Shaun of the Dead stand out so much, because it's like, oh, it's a comedy. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's also very funny. And then this one, I think, stands out to me because it's on a train, and you just don't see it. You know, it's always malls, malls, military bases, you know, things like where there's a ton of people. So like making it that small in terms of the environment where it is just like, it's train cars, except for the few times we're in a train yard or a train station or whatever. It's like, oh, this isn't like 90% on a fucking train. And it makes it claustrophobic in a way where you're just like, there's nowhere to go. There's no fucking where to go.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So I highly recommend it. Again, I don't know, where did you watch it? Where did you find it?
I found it on someone's Plex. So.
Okay. yeah, so I don't know where it's available now. It used to be on Netflix. It'll probably return to Netflix because this is how things go. Otherwise, yeah. You know, keep an eye on other things. You may be able to rent it on Amazon Prime or something. They'll check real fast. But I recommend checking it out. If zombie movies are your things, fuck off. Yeah, whatever. I opened up Prime and it was like, you need to go to Amazon to watch this. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if Peninsula is available anywhere yet. Yeah, that apparently just it released
came,
in August.
Yeah, it just came out. Train to yeah. If you have Prime, Amazon Prime Video, it is currently available to watch on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's an hour and 57 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, for a 2-hour movie though, it does fly by. Like there, yeah. it's got enough action and a lot of good story. Like I said, the only downside is you have to watch subs. I mean, mm-hmm. but and it's hard, you know, it's hard to catch up with the subs and everything, but remember, it's a zombie movie. You don't have to watch you don't have to read the subs in an action scene.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like what we described to you, I mean, again, like that's essentially the movie, but also like, I don't remember really what anyone said in the movie. I remember the basics that I picked up on. Yeah, but like, yeah, you watch the movie. You could literally watch this movie without subs, and I think that you'd still be able to follow the story relatively well. Like, it's you can see the character like archetypes. You may not know exactly why people are arguing about things, but it's pretty fucking obvious. Like, this one guy's an asshole, and he doesn't want them to stay on the train, and he turns everyone against them, and this, you know, I don't know, this guy's clearly protective of his wife and unborn child, and this guy was protective of his daughter, and then you got two teens. You just have two teens that are there.
Protective of each other, at least.
Yeah. So, I can highly recommend, it's available on Prime, go check it out. We have not talked about what we're going to watch next, or what our theme is for this horror fest. I mean, kind of thought about maybe doing some, like, just foreign films this year, which I highly recommend. And there's one, I have a recommendation for one that maybe we should watch next. And let me see if I can find it real fast. You may have already seen it. It's a classic. They made an English version of it, or an American version of it. Uh-oh.
If you say something like The Ring, I'm going to be very disappointed.
No. I went to, and I hope it didn't pick it up in the recording, I went to Netflix and auto started playing an ad for a show.
Oh.
And so it doesn't look like it picked it up in the recording, which is good, but it was just like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You're ruining everything.
Oh, I don't think it's on there anymore. And I have to look up the exact name of it. I believe it was Let the Right One In. Because I think,
oh yeah, Let the Right One In, and then Let Me In. Yeah, that was the American version.
Yeah, Let the Right One In. That is my recommendation for what we should watch next. I don't know where we're gonna find it. It's not on Netflix anymore, which is such a shame.
Ah, bummer.
Let me check Prime again. Man, I love this time of the year because this is like about the time where everyone starts putting out their scary stuff, and there's some good stuff coming to Netflix and stuff, but I also hate that, like, why would you take Train of Busan off at the end of September when October is the next fucking month?
Right? And also we have Legend of Blighthouse coming out this very soon, isn't it?
Very soon.
The sequel to, or the second season to Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah. Okay. I said Let the Right One In. And even autofilled, so it's not showing up there. We may have to find someone to get this for us and put it on their Plex. I'll check HBO real quick. I don't think it's on there. But it is.
But yeah, we'll come together.
It's a vampire movie. And I don't remember what country it was made in. The 2008 film. Swedish. It's a Swedish film.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll do that one.
the American version had Chloe Grace Moretz.
Mm-hmm. And I remember liking that one, but I remember
yeah, it was a good movie.
I watched the original first before that one even came out. I think I watched it and was like, oh shit, there's an American version coming. Oh shit! And then when that one came out, I remember they were both on Netflix, and it was like, all right, I'm gonna watch this one. I'm like, okay, all right. I could see that, you know, there's obviously things that they have to change and whatnot, but not a whole lot. But it was a good one. So what was I doing? Looking up on Max, HBO Max. Give me one second. But that is, do you have any other suggestions for things we should watch later? I mean, we talk about it right now, since we haven't really yet.
Yeah, like I was saying, I would like to see, I put a couple suggestions out to Telegram for you before. I recommend Sadako versus Kayako, which is basically Japan's version of Freddy versus Jason, because you're getting the girl from The Ring versus
the
kid from The Grudge.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this, you can find this on Shudder. So if you're subscribed to Shudder, it's a Shudder exclusive, but you know, you could also find it in other ways. But this has been out for a couple years now. It is a blast. I liked it a lot, and I will happily watch it again. I haven't seen it in a couple of years. But yeah, look up the trailer for Sadako versus Kayako. And it was fun. It was a good movie. Then another suggestion I have is that #Alive that just came out on Netflix. So I think that's on Netflix, right? Yeah, #Alive is on Netflix. So yeah, that'd be another accessible one.
Okay, so let the right one in. You can watch it on Prime, but you'd have to rent it for $3, $4.
Nah.
Yeah, which is kind of like, don't want to do that. I was trying to see if it was on. I don't have Shudder, so I don't know if it's on there or not.
Yeah.
And so then, we have
to flex that one.
It looks like it might be on Hulu. So if you pay for Hulu, it looks like it's on there.
Oh, cool. Wait, which one? Sadako versus...
No, Let the Right One In.
Oh, Let the Right One In. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can do those. We'll do those. So, okay. So we'll do Let the Right One In next, however we get a hold of it. And then the Grudge versus The Ring, however, we'll get a... Where did you say it was on Shudder?
Yeah.
God, I need to get a Shudder subscription. I bet
they'll have a great promotion this month. I was going to say, yeah. I
bet they will. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Shudder. Let's see.
I think Shudder's only like $5 a... Oh, no, it's not Shudder.com. How is it not Shudder.com? Buy that shit.
Shudder.com. That's where I'm at. It worked
for
me. You spelled with a T, didn't it?
T's. I was like, Shudder.
Oh, man.
God damn it.
Yeah, they got some good stuff on here.
Dude, plans start at $4.75 a month. That's not bad at all.
I absolutely hate that on this image on the front page is the tooth monster thing from this show, Channel Zero. Did you watch that?
No, but the tooth monster scared the shit out of me when I went to this page as well.
It was a sci-fi show from sci-fi called Channel Zero, and it was seasons were based off of creepypastas.
Shit.
And so this one, yeah, it's about this thing that like collects teeth, and it's got Mark Brandanowicz.
Oh god,
I know it's Brandanowicz, but Brandanowicz, motherfucker, he's in it. It's pretty good. There were some other seasons that were better, but it's every season's different.
Nice.
I watched those when I guess when Wednesday was born. I watched all four seasons.
You had the time. Yeah, I remember that.
Let's stay up late. I'm still trying to see if it's here or not. I have to. I don't want to start a free trial. I just want to see. I wish they would show me what's in your catalog.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. Anyways, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This has been almost an hour long talking about Train to Busan. Please go check it out. Please go watch it. Hang out with us for the rest of the month as we continue to do this. Kevin and I have talked briefly about maybe kicking the Monday night show back off here eventually, without Jer, until Jer is in a place to come back. Like we said, he's having another surgery later this month. I think he said the 21st of October.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, to fix the lead in his pacemaker, which if you guys have listened to the show, you may know about. He had a pacemaker put in a couple years ago, and one of the connecting wires is fucked up. So they have to go in and fix that. So, you know, he just had that one heart surgery. He's about to go have another. This one, if I remember correctly, wasn't as invasive as the other one, but it limits him a little bit further afterwards, because he can't move his arm at all. His left arm, I think he can't move it for like 8 weeks or something like that.
Oh my God, that's gonna.
Yeah, 12 to 8 weeks, I think is what he said.
And then also, he's got to do all this while moving.
While moving.
Yeah, they're finding another house, so.
Yeah, that sucks. You know what, though? You know, one of the things I did years ago when we moved in this house, I paid someone to move our shit. So we packed everything up. So I was going to say, it sucks you can't pack. But if you, yeah. You know, if you can pay some movers, they'll do that for you. And then they'll move it for you and unpack it to an extent. They took apart all of our furniture and then rebuilt it when we moved. That was pretty nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be back with us. He said maybe the start of the new year. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But thank you again. I'm excited to do this. We really brought it down to the wire. You know, yeah. October 1st, and we were like, today, like, you want to do this? Let's fucking do this.
This is literally October 1st as of this recording, so yeah, I don't know when it's going to get released, but yeah.
I'm going to try it, have it out on the 2nd. I'm going to try and, I'm not working tomorrow, so I can spend, if I don't get it ready tonight, I can finish it tomorrow, so.
And this is the first time I've been in a call with Doug, and probably since we stopped the podcast.
We played some games. We but played like some of Fall Guys. Nah, I don't know about cameras now because we were playing like Fall Guys or whatever.
It's weird. You guys can't see this, I don't think. But
no, no, I don't know how they would.
Doug, that's how. Yeah, it's a hatless Doug. It's rare, so I can see this.
Yeah. Also, I'm glad we were talking before we started that like all the lights are off in my office just about, except for like the closet light, which is shining. That and my computer monitor shining enough light so you can see my beautiful face. My hair looks good.
It does. It just goes right over. You know, it's, I don't know what. I haven't had hair in a very long time. I don't know.
It's kind of doing like a swoop, but not like an emo swoop, but just like a nice little. The thing. So today, I know we're not talking about this movie anymore. Now we're just babbling because we haven't talked to each other like face to face in a while. I was at work today, and I went to the restroom, and then I went to wash my hands, and then I looked at myself in the mirror, and my hair was doing something weird that I could see how much it had thinned in the back.
Oh no.
And I went, and I was like, I was standing there just looking at myself like, fuck. When my coworkers walked in, and he was like, you okay? And I was like, just, my hair looks like shit, man. Like, I was like, I could see how much it's thinning in the back. I'm really sad. And he just started laughing. And he was like, hey, man, chicks dig a bald dude with a big beard. And I was like, yeah. I was like, if they had come back and said, hey, you're not coming back in July, you're not coming back till August, if we had known that back in like June, I would have just shaved my head.
Jeremy just shaved his head.
Yeah. And yeah, he also like shaved.
He was so he
also
much younger when he shaved his head.
He did. Well, yeah. Oh, he's never going to listen to this. It doesn't matter. When his first picture, I wanted so badly to respond, oh, hey, Grandpa, because he looked old. Because Jeremy's lost a lot of weight. He's doing really great.
Oh yeah, he that too. Yeah.
And so like, he's lost weight. He shaved his head. He shaved his beard, and he just kind of looked like an old man. And then he put his glasses on and sent us another photo. And I was like, now you look like you're 12. Like I don't understand what the fuck just happened. You went from one photo looking like a haggard old man to a 12-year-old. Like I don't get it. I didn't say anything though. Which now I've put it out there. He's going to hear it. I said he's not going to. Yeah, he's probably going to hear it. But it was just one of those it's like, yeah, dude, you have to keep your glasses on. They keep you young, bud. Yeah. Also, Jer, if you are listening, hey, bud, love you. Congratulations on the like 40 pounds or whatever you've lost at this point. It's been fucking crazy. Congratulations.
Yeah, dude. I'm really proud of you, man.
There's only about 10 pounds difference between you and I now. I can't seem to lose anymore. Without having to go to a gym and actually like do things. So
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go sign up for a Planet Fitness membership. The only thing that sucks is the Planet Fitness in my neighborhood that I want to sign up for closes at like 8 or 9. So it's like, man, I don't want to go during like peak hours and work out with people. I just want to use the elliptical on my own at like 11 at night, you know, or something like that.
Back in March, I was about to sign up for one. And I was like, okay, I get paid on Friday or whatever. And when I went to sign, they had gotten rid of their promotional deal where it was only, it was no sign up fee. And then it was like, at that time they're doing, you know, this promotional thing. And it was like, you would get their silver card access or their gold card or whatever the fuck, or whichever one it is, their top tier one, but only for $10 a month instead of the normal 25.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. And you would get that for a whole year set up that way. And I was like, fuck yeah. But it was one of those, like, I looked at my bank account and went like, I can wait till Friday. I'll wait till Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday rolled around and they got rid of that deal. And I was like, fuck. Like, okay, I'll wait. Cause I saw another one. Like, they do this all the time. They'll do these deals and stuff. And then, like, the next week was spring break. And then the week after that, like, we were shut down. And so I was like, I ain't going to no fucking gyms anytime soon.
Good thing, yeah, you would have saved a lot of money there.
Yeah, at that point, dude, I would have been like, I need to cancel this because everyone closed. Ain't nobody going.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure they would have understood. But we got to wrap this up. My dogs are now looking at me with yellow eyes because they've got to pee.
Yeah, we just got a message actually from another podcast that wants to join in with us for Horror Fest this year. So, hey, look out. It may not just be us. It may be some of our friends. So,
yeah, we're putting this all together. Punk rock DIY.
Yeah. All right. We're going to shut up now. It has officially been over an hour. Love you, long time. We will see you next week with another episode of 8-Bit Horror Fest 2020. Yes. The foreign film edition.
Yes.
Bye. Everybody.